complex in the woman that makes her resent the unborn child because she fears it will interfere with her own creative dreams. Positive mothering for both mother and grown-up daughter comes in the realization that they must release each other from the unconscious trap of the negative mother. If the mother finds her own freedom or is released through death, before that release takes place in the daughter, then the latter is instantly confronted with both her mother's birth and her own. She can be born at last from the original con which they strangled each other. The mother's freedom can give the daughter her freedom, if she is psychologically conscious enough to take it. Without that release, however, the daughter will eventually become the parent, and the mother will respond by becoming dependent and infantile. If both women can relate to the Black Madonna within, they can respect and love each other within a framework to which they both belong. The Black Madonna is the carnal womb through which one gives birth and the other was born. Not daring to look at the truth which binds them together is precisely what has kept them apart. The most positive thing that can work between them is the recognition of their carnal bonding. This positive recognition, which can give each her psychic freedom, must take place in the deep underground caves of the conventional home, and utmost vigilance is required to stay with the real task. What seems to be going on in the living room may be the opposite to what is going on in the basement. The mother may be attempting to push the daughter out of the living room so that she will not repeat her mother's pattern. The daughter, then, has to recognize the mother is not pushing her out because she hates her, but because she wants to release her. If that is not brought to consciousness, the daughter becomes a guilty rebel who hates her mother, and mother becomes suffering victim whose efforts are defiantly rejected. They are terrified to face each other. The woman in her function as Black Madonna, whether consciously or unconsciously, may be trying to save the daughter. If rebellious daughter wants to go away to school, off to camp, or around the world, mother sends her. Anything to stop the negative cycle if it's the last thing she does. A daughter locked into an eating disorder is at war with food, with mother. Wolfing, rejecting, or vomiting food is repeating the negative cycle. There'll be no men, no babies, no me. If she can relate to the Black Madonna, she can experience how her body is crying out against physical death, trying to give her soul a chance to live. If she can experience this in her gut, the instinct valiantly attempting to survive, she can connect to the positive side of her own mother, the positive energy of the Black Madonna. Then diet is no longer deprivation or forced feeding, punishment or compensation, but positive mother feeding her hungry child food for the body and food for the soul. If consciousness can come before the physical death of the mother, then both women may be released. If not, then the mother's freedom, which is how the still-trapped daughter will see her death, requires the daughter to deal with her own introjected negative mother. Can she accept her freedom? Her body is locked into experiencing itself as a deserted child, both mother and daughter left it behind. Now daughter has to go back and retrieve it, fully aware that she cannot bring it into consciousness through punishment or abandonment, aware too that she must ask its forgiveness. A body whose wisdom has never been honored will not easily trust. Without a positive model, something creative must go on between a woman and her inner mother in the underground cave. The ego that refused to submit to the body must now submit to the healing power of nature. The ego does not know what to do, and the body, like an animal with a crazy trainer, has developed crazed and chronic habits. Where the animal has been allowed to run wild, it takes time and discipline to allow the healing powers to develop a mutual trust between the ego and the creative aspects of the unconscious. If individuals accept the prison of a collective system that denies their very existence, then in effect they accept a concentration camp life. They are victims who believe in the victor. A mother and daughter trapped in this dynamic, as their prison dreams clearly demonstrate, are trapped in a power principle whose goal is to keep them in a gas oven until they die. So long as it remains unconscious, the vicious circle repeats, intensifying in each generation. To bring this to consciousness is to recognize the Black Madonna, the repressed outlaw, as the potentially positive bond between the two women. This is where the light in the relationship is, freed bondwoman to freed bondwoman. In the Old Testament, it is Hagar, the dark Egyptian, the freed bondwoman of Abraham, who is cast into the desert to care for her son Ishmael. Once mother and daughter realize they do not belong to each other, that each has her own soul and both are the daughters of the great mother, Sophia, then the positive side of their relationship can be recognized, and neither woman need despise her femininity nor continue to violate her body. Violating the body may be transformed into validating the virgin.
Have a baby sister, was she bitter, was she sweet? Did she wind up in a convent? Did she end up on the street, on the run, on the stage? Did she dance? Did he have a sister, a little baby sister? Did Jesus have a sister? Did they give her a chance? Did he have a baby sister? Could she speak out by and large? Was she told by Mother Mary, ask your brother, he's in charge, he's the chief, he's the whipped cream on the cake. Did he have a sister? Did they give her a brain?
Her baby sister.
Her brother's birth announcement, it was pretty big, I guess. But she got precious little notice in the local press. Her mother was the virgin when she carried him therein. If the little girl came later, then was she conceived in sin, and in sorrow,
and in sorrow,
and in suffering,
and in suffering,
and in shame?
Every sister,
what was her name? Be the savior, saving everyone she met. And in private, to her mirror, did she whisper,
Saviorette,
save your woman, save your person, save your breath. Did he have a sister, little baby sister? Did Jesus have a sister? Was she there at his death? And did she cry for Mary's comfort as she watched him on the cross? And was Mary too despairing? Ask your brother. He's the boss.
He's the boss.
He's the chief.
He's the chief.
He's the man.
He's the man.
He's the show.
He's the show.
Mormon. right to you. If you pray right, it'll belong to you. Oh, it'll belong to you. If you do right, it'll belong to you. If you love right,
yeah.
right. This could have happened, her stitches attacked. This is what happened, she made a Jesus. This is what happened, she made a Jesus. Please don't name your children.
That was My Dolls, M-Y-D-O-L-L-S, My Dolls, not the cramp reliever, although they can called Please No Mary. And before that, I did quite a religious mix here, I guess. I was exhausting all of my my religious music for the for that particular pause. Backwards. Since that makes more sense. Please No Mary by My Dolls. The Confession by Laura Nyro from the album Eli and the 13th Confession. If You Pray Right by Nina Simone from the album Baltimore. And Captain St. Lucifer by Laura Nyro from New York Tendaberry. Before that, dedicated to my friend Lisa, who is being a young feminist in her 20s, does not know of Dori Previn. That was Dori Previn singing Did Jesus Have a Baby Sister, one of my personal favorites. Now, I can tell my story of the Black Madonna. And after reading the chapter, which I just read to you, on the Black Madonna from Marion Woodman's book, The Pregnant Virgin. Again, I don't know how available this particular book is. It was lent to me. Most of my books and records are either lent to me or bought at thrift shops for a nominal fee, so I don't know about in print or out of print or where to get things. Because usually where I am, it's one copy per person. You know, one copy and I've got it. Sorry. But after reading this chapter in this book, I was very inspired by the concept of a figure coming through the fire and dissolving itself. And resolving issues that have to do with mothers and daughters. And so I didn't set out to acquire a statue of the Black Madonna, but I was walking in Midtown Manhattan, and I think I was on a job interview, actually. This was at a period where I was scouting around for work. And I happened into the Citicorp Center at 53rd and Lex. And in the Citicorp Center is a Mexican folk craft shop. Now, I never, before walking into that place, placed any kind of value? That's a very chauvinistic thing to say. But I never cared much for Mexican, specifically Mexican folk art, South American or Central American folk art of any kind. I thought it was, you know, pretty and colorful and who cares? It's sort of frivolous and whatever. But for some reason that day, looking into that shop window, which was crowded, crammed full of these fascinating objects. I noticed that Frida Kahlo has come into prominence recently. Everyone seems to be talking about her, doing movies about her, doing TV specials on public TV about her. And it's because she's been rediscovered as this, you know, long-suffering feminist who was married to Diego Rivera, and that she herself was this very powerful woman, tragic, crippled almost by a bus accident when she was 18, and living in body casts all of her life, and doing paintings that always seem to feature her in some role, whether it's being tortured with arrows as a deer or being dressed as a ceremonial Mexican bride with an imprint of Diego Rivera right in the middle of her forehead, known as Diego on my mind. She does seem to be quite a fascinating woman, and I'm kind of sorry, since I'm sort of a cultural outlaw, that when something becomes popular, I really don't want to go near it, just for the principle of the thing. And she, unfortunately, has become popular. There was a New York Times article a couple of weeks ago which had Madonna, no coincidence intended, speaking her mind about what a feminist Frida Kahlo was and that she was collecting Frida Kahlo. But they, anyway, getting back to the point, the TV show that I did see on her showed that, talked a little bit about the Mexican preoccupation with skeletons. And when I first saw these little dioramas of all the figures being skeletons, I didn't know what the heck was going on. I thought it was very weird and interesting, but I didn't understand. And now I sort of do a little bit. I should do a little more research on it. That the Mexican culture specifically, I don't know about other South American culture, or Central American, tends to see death in everything, not as a morbid or depressing presence, but as a natural and acceptable presence. So therefore you will see these little tableaus of a wedding where everyone is a skeleton, the guests, the bride, the groom, and the priest. Or you will see a nativity scene where every figure in it is a skeleton, except maybe the animals, and I'm not even sure about them. But that's quite fascinating to me. So I saw these things displayed in the window, and the little tin lanterns or candle shades that have been pricked in design so that they throw these wonderful designs off on a wall, and they also look beautiful when you look at them, and various other beautiful, colorful, innocent, naive, but in the most lovely sense, crafts there. And while just sort of looking through with my mouth sort of hanging open and all the pretty Mexican silver jewelry, of course, I happened to notice up on a top shelf two different statues, representations of the Black Madonna, and I recognized her immediately because I just read this book. And one of them was very large, very tall, big statue, about 2-3 feet, very magnificent and very westernized, I should say, very very true to life, very pictorial. It's like a photograph almost of a person dressed and all that. The other one, the one that really drew me, was this small one. It's less than a foot high. This beautiful little statue. Now, they're both absolutely ebony jet black. And as I asked the salesperson to pull down the small one for me to look at, she said, told me that that is the natural.